I think probably the majority of you know this, but I attended Calvary Chapel Bible College. In the second year of Bible college, I actually went to Hungary. And then I did an internship there. So I lived in Hungary for 2 years at the Bible college. And Hungary is pretty much the heart of Europe. And so that campus has literally people from all over the world attending. You either need to know how to speak English or Hungarian to go. So most of the time we communicated in English because that's generally people's second language. But during worship, you would hear countless languages being sung because it wasn't just English or Hungarian that our worship was in, because we had people from literally all over the world. So even when we were practicing that song and just listening to everybody singing all these different languages, I was like tearing up and getting all emotional just because it's such a beautiful thing. Like, I know you guys hear this, but in Christ, you could go anywhere in the world, and if you meet somebody who knows the Lord, you have an immediate connection. And I think it's just, I don't know. When we were talking about planning this event and talking about orchestrating it all, it sounded odd. And then to see it come together, it's amazing. And it's so fun to celebrate the diversity that's in Christ. And yet, even in that diversity, we are one in him. And that is really the heart of my message this morning, is that we are one in Christ. And we are going to be focusing on Galatians 3:28. So I'm going to read that. You can turn to it, but we're just going to look at that verse, so you don't have to. But I'm going to read it to you. It says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." So with that verse read, we're going to go ahead and pray, and then we're going to dive into it, okay? Father, I just want to thank you so much just for this morning, for bringing us here. Just to sit at your feet and really to celebrate the work that you are doing in each one of our lives, God, that you are such a diverse God, that there is no limit to how you can work, that you've created us to be unique and to be individual, and yet to come together as the body of Christ for your glory and for your kingdom. And God, I just pray that right now we would be able to embrace that fully, to understand that we are all different yet one in you. God, that we would be knit together in love, that we would be knit together in unity so that we can know you more, God, but more importantly, that we can make you known in this world. God, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. May we be just open and vulnerable before you and allow you really to speak to us, to change us, to convict us, to mold us more into your image. We love you, Jesus, and again, just thank you for this morning. We just ask and pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, so that verse, you are all one in Christ Jesus. So when we are in Christ, there should be nothing, nothing that divides us. Are there differences in the church? Personalities, ethnicities, languages, cultures, gifts, talents, etc.? Yes, absolutely. But that is what makes the church so beautiful, is the diversity. Differences shouldn't be something that divides us, but rather something that we embrace and rejoice in. So this verse, Galatians 3:28, I'm going to break into two sections. The first section is going to be about identity, and the second will be the fact that we are one in Christ. So identity. Identity can be defined as the qualities, beliefs, etc., that distinguish or identify a person or thing. It establishes who you are. So Paul, in this verse, Galatians 3:28, he addresses issues of identity. So the first part, there is neither Jew nor Greek. He hits on race and culture, Jew nor Greek. Then he discusses occupation and socioeconomic status, neither slave nor free. And then finally, gender. There is neither male nor female. Now, the world generally finds its identity in one of these three areas. Would you agree? My question to you, where do you find your identity? Hope so. What defines you? If I were to ask you, who are you? What would be your response? So, if I were to answer that question simply, I would say, I am Jenna. I think your name has a lot to do with your identity, yes? So, I am Jenna. I'm a Christian. I'm a teacher. I'm a woman. I'm single. I'm 29 years old. I'm an American, etc. Now, if I were to ask you that question, what's your identity? Some of you might say, I'm a wife. I'm a mother. I'm a Republican. I'm successful. I'm divorced. I'm alone. I'm tired. Apparently, that's all of us. I'm in bondage. I'm bitter. My question, who are you? Now, all of the things that I mentioned about me, they're true. They are part of who I am, but they do not define the core of who I am. Yep. You'll know why in a second. Told you I was emotional. I am a sinner saved by grace. I am a redeemed child of God. I belong to Christ. Okay, woo. You see, my identity is found in Christ alone. David Guzik said this, "Now that Jesus is our identity, that is more important than any prior identity we possessed." The moment that I forget that, though, or lose sight of it, that is when things begin to crumble around me. I grow discontent, I become depressed, I get irritable, I become self-focused, and oftentimes I lack love for others. If we seek to find our identity in the things of this world, we will be left empty. Why? Because it will never satisfy. We won't ever be good enough. We need to remind ourselves that our identity isn't in our accomplishments. It's not defined by our past. It isn't defined by our culture, our marital status, our job, our paycheck, or our appearance. Colossians 3:3 says, "For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And again, Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." Sorry. "I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." These two verses highlight the fact that we are no longer our own. We have been bought with the precious blood of Christ. We are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We have a new identity, and that identity is found in the Lord. We are the redeemed bride of Christ. Now, are there still other aspects of our identity and character? Absolutely. God has created each one of us to be unique. He has given us specific gifts and talents, and he has determined the places and time in which we should live. Why? So that we might know him more and make him known. There are different cultures, occupations, personalities, gifts, etc. Yet, in spite of all of our differences, the thing that unites us is our redemption. We didn't do anything to earn salvation. We can't earn God's love, and we can't lose God's love. He loves us simply because that is who he is. It is part of his identity. He is love. We have nothing to boast in, but everything to rejoice in. We have been adopted into God's family. We are all one in Christ. So here's my question to you now that we've talked about identity. Are you attempting to find your identity in something other than Christ? Now, when I ask that question, who are you? What's your identity? Where do you find your identity? A lot of you answered in Christ. And I think sometimes we can come to church and we know the right response, right? You sit in Sunday school and you ask kids questions and they're like, "Jesus!" Well, yes, but a little bit more. You know, like we kind of have the right response of what to say. But I really want you to ask yourself that question honestly. I think I can't remember if it was last night or this morning when I was praying. But the verse in Psalm 139, I think it's verses 23 and 24, but look it up to make sure that I'm right. But it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And when I was thinking about this question that I was going to ask you all, are you attempting to find your identity in something other than Christ? I thought of that verse. I want you to truly ask that question to the Lord honestly. Am I? Really be vulnerable before the Lord. What are you allowing to define you? What are you placing your identity in? Is it in your job? Is it in your family? Is it in the world's expectations of what you should be? Let me encourage you this morning, you are already accepted in the Beloved. Rest in Him. Be who He has created you to be, and quit trying to find your worth and identity in the things of this world. Run after Jesus and let Him be your greatest pursuit. Once we come to that realization that our identity isn't defined by our culture or by our occupation or by anything else in this world, we will be able to fully embrace and live out the truth that we are all one in Christ. We won't look at one another through the eyes of the world in judgment, but through the eyes of Christ, and be able to love one another unconditionally. Because we will recognize that we're all on the same playing field, that we're all sinners in need of salvation. Yes, there's diversities. Yes, there's differences among us, but really, we're all in the same boat. We need Jesus. And if we can learn to see each other through the eyes of Christ, through the eyes of love, then we won't see those differences and have them be a reason for judgment. We will see those differences in people and rejoice, because God is an amazing God and He has such diversity. And because you are different than I am, He is able to use you in ways that He couldn't use me. We can rejoice in those differences instead of look at people in judgment. So that brings me now to our next section, One in Christ. So we've talked about our identity. And again, I encourage you to really go before the Lord and say, God, am I attempting to find my identity elsewhere besides you? Ask Him that today. Spend some time in prayer. And if you are, allow Him to renew you, because He can. So, one in Christ. What do I mean by one in Christ? Well, as I said, we are one regarding our standing before God and Jesus. Again, we are all sinners in need of a Savior, which means nobody is more deserving than another. And I think that is something that we need to allow to sink in more. Real quick story. My mom and I went to Italy right after I graduated Bible college. It was probably the worst trip of our lives. We laugh about it now. The whole week, though, I think we were just crying the whole time. It was seriously Murphy's Law. If anything could go wrong, it did go wrong. And it was, at one point, I think we did start laughing, because it was like, seriously, how could this happen? Just one more thing. But to start our trip, we get to Italy, and it's at night, and we're trying to figure out how to get to the bed and breakfast that we're staying in, and we were trying to be frugal and save money. So, ironic, because we take this bus, and we get to the city, and we step off the bus, and like typical tourists, we pull out a map. So, I think we're here, and we need to get here, like seriously, sticking out like a sore thumb, please take advantage of us, we don't know what we're doing. So, we're standing at night at this bus station in like the heart of Florence, I think is where we were, and this guy comes up to us, he's got a funky hat on, he starts speaking Italian to us, and I seriously, if you know my mom and I, we don't pack light. If we're going for an overnight trip, it looks like we're moving in. So we're going through Italy. I don't know how many bags I have all over me. I think we each have two plus a carry-on. And did you hurt your, I think your back was out that day. And so I'm like wearing a backpack and things behind me and carrying and rolling two suitcases. It was just comical. So I'm holding on to our bags for dear life. And I've lived in Europe for a year now. So I'm pretty cautious of my surroundings. And this guy comes up to us and he's speaking in Italian. He starts pointing at my bag. And I'm like, I don't know what you're saying, but you're freaking me out. So I'm holding on to my bags for dear life, just staring at him. And keeps pointing at my bag, and I look at it, and there's this nasty white goop all down the front of my bag, and it smells terrible. And so he's like pointing at it, and he's like, doot, 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 doot. And okay, so I'm looking, and my mom goes, Jenna, I think a bird pooped on your bag. And I kid you not, it must have been a pterodactyl. Because there is no way there could have been that much poop on my back from a bird, right? So I'm like, no way, this is not a bird. But I don't know what's happening. I'm out of my comfort zone. And so my mom starts pointing at it, and she's like, oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Take a picture. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I like go to grab my camera, I don't even know. And then all of a sudden she goes, Jenna, my bag! And she takes off and turns a corner and leaves. And I was like, okay. So I'm holding on to all my bags. What had happened was pretty much a ploy. One guy came, threw something on one of our bags, distracted us, and his partner took my mom's bag while we were distracted by the bird poop. So, welcome to Italy. So we go home, nothing against Italy. We finally get to our bed and breakfast, and I am fuming. I'm so upset because I felt violated. You know, you just taken my bag. I don't know where I'm at. I'm out of my comfort zone. And we get to our bed and breakfast, and we sit at the edge of the bed, and I remember I was just angry. And my mom said, you know, we need to pray. And I was like, I don't want to pray. And so she starts praying. And she actually starts praying for this man that took her bag. And she starts praying for his salvation. And the bag that he took was actually a bag of all of her books for studying. So he stole her Bible and other Jesus-related topical books, which is ironic. You gotta love how God works. But I remember when she was praying for his salvation, I felt just anger in my heart. And I was thinking, I don't care if this guy gets saved. And it was at that realization I actually broke down and started crying because I realized how hard my heart was. And I started thinking, like, I think in my mind, he doesn't deserve salvation. And then I was so broken because the Lord said, neither do you. Neither do you. I'm no better than that man is. In the eyes of Christ, we're all sinners in need of salvation. And that man is broken and lost. And the fact that he thinks he needs to steal just is further demonstration of that. So again, there's nobody who's more deserving of salvation than any other. We're all in the same boat. So, what do I mean by we are all one in Christ? Again, we are all sinners in need of a Savior. However, on the flip side, being one in Christ doesn't mean that everybody looks the same. One in Christ doesn't mean we're all just a bunch of robots who act the same way. Okay, so you guys are probably like, oh, yeah, I get that. If we were all the same, that would be really boring. And I will tell you, God is not boring. He is very exciting. He has made us unique, and he desires to use those unique qualities and characteristics for his kingdom and for his glory. So my encouragement, don't suppress the gifts and talents he has given you. Now, being one in Christ, I can think of really no better analogy than that of the body of Christ, which is found in 1 Corinthians 12. So we're going to actually turn to that, and we're going to read it, and I'm going to give you three quick points to leave you with. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to read verses 12 to 27. May sound long, but listen to it if you don't have your Bible. It's actually a really cool passage. So, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27. It says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a foot,' or 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." So 3 points I want to take out from this passage, the body of Christ. Here's the first. You ready? Don't try to be like everybody else. And I think as women, that is probably one of our greatest struggles. Second, don't try to make everybody else like you. Another one of our greatest struggles. And thirdly, you are important and you matter. Don't think that you need to be something that you're not. So, this first part, don't try to be like everybody else. It comes from 1 Corinthians 12, 15 to 19. And that's the part where it said, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. What's happening in that case? Your foot is looking and going, man, I wish I could be a hand. The hand does such cool, awesome things. All I do is stay in this dark, stinky, nasty shoe all day long and bear the weight of the whole body. I wish I could be a hand. You know, I don't even really matter. Nobody cares about me. Nobody ever sees me. In fact, nobody ever wants to see me. Now, taking that to us as women, we do this, don't we? We look at everybody else around us and we start to compare ourselves. Well, I'm not like that. Well, I can't do what they do. And then we try to become that. And does it work? No. Why? You're not a hand. You're a foot. But then he says, each member is necessary. If you didn't have feet, good luck walking on your hands, right? But we look at it from a different perspective. We see everybody else and what they're doing and how God's using them, and we look at ourselves and go, well, what good am I? Not true. That is a lie from the enemy. I guarantee you, the hand's looking at the foot and going, man, I wish I could be a foot. Second, don't try to make everybody else like you. That comes from 1 Corinthians 12, 20 to 21, where it says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. And I think this is what happens at times. We try to make everybody else like us. Why? Now, here's what I'm thinking. The eye, the ear, right? The ear, I have no need of an eye. Okay, now, the ear is made for hearing. The eye is made for seeing. So the things that the ear are sensitive to, the eye doesn't care about. Because that's not its role. It's not its function. typically, this is what happens. We see a need, we feel a burden, we have a conviction, and we look at somebody else and we're like, why don't you care? We get almost bitter and angry because I'm sitting here vacuuming and you're just stepping all over the crumbs. Didn't you notice them? But maybe that person who's stepping all over the crumbs is talking to a woman who's extremely broken and needed some encouragement. Now, that woman who's broken and needed some encouragement may not feel very welcomed if they come into a place that has crumbs all over the floor. Do you see how every member is necessary? If we work together as a body, that's when Christ is glorified. But when we start looking at everybody else and going, man, I wish I could be that, then you're not going to be who God created you to be, and you're going to miss opportunities. If you start looking at everybody and going, man, I wish you could be like me, then you're going to take them away from what God has called them to do. So, here's my encouragement in all of these things. Number one, rest in who you are in Christ. Don't try to find your identity in the things of this world. I'm telling you, it will only leave you empty. Second, I want you to step out in the confidence that God has created you and equipped you and will work through you. He made you. He made you the way that you are for a reason. You have those unique characteristics and qualities. They aren't the thing that solely define you because you are first Christ's. But now when your identity changes and you realize that your identity is found in the Lord, then all of those characteristics, all of those unique attributes can now be used for His glory. You start seeing things differently and you can start rejoicing in the things that God has gifted you with because now you get to use it to glorify Him. Finally, I want you to encourage others to step out in faith and be used by the Lord in the ways that He has gifted them. Don't try to make them like you. Recognize those unique characteristics and qualities in your sisters and love them through Christ and encourage them to step out and use those things that God has gifted them with. I want to read you a verse. It's out of Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, and I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. Now, this is probably a passage that's familiar to you, but I think it sums up nicely the fact that our identity is found in the Lord and that we are one in Christ, that we are members individually, but one body, that we are different yet one whole when we work together for His glory. So here it is. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When we find our identity in Christ alone, our differences are no longer causes for division, but reasons for celebration. I'm going to say that again. When we find our identity in Christ alone, our differences are no longer causes for division, but reasons for celebration. Be who God created you to be and encourage others to be who God created them to be. Once we do that, we will experience the beauty of what it means to be one in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you for your salvation. God, we thank you that you loved us first, that you pursued after us. God, that you redeemed us, that you loved us simply because that is who you are. That you willingly became a man, that you humbled yourself, that you took our punishment on that cross so that we could find our identity in you, God, that we could be renewed, that we could become a new creation. God, I lift up these women and I pray that they would find your identity in you. I pray for these little ones that are here, God, that they would grow up knowing that their identity is in you alone. That they wouldn't be defined by the things of this world, that they wouldn't fall into the pressures of what this world says they should be, but that they would run after you, God, that you would be their greatest pursuit. God, I pray again that you would just bind us together in love. Give us your eyes to see one another. Help us to encourage one another in you, to not be focused on on the differences that we see, on things that we're not, but to keep our eyes fixed on you, because you are going to equip us. It's you who does the work, God. We are just simply empty vessels. So God, I pray that you would fill us to your Holy Spirit, that you would equip us to be used by you, God, that we would truly operate as the body of Christ as you intended it. That we would realize really the great truth that we are one in Christ, that we are members individually, but yet one body. God, bring us together, and may this world look upon us and come to know you because of our love for one another. Again, God, we just thank you for this morning, for just this awesome celebration of your diversity and how you work and how you've created us. God, truly you are an amazing God, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.